tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 23rd of June, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. And today I want to take a little look at Black Lives Matter and similar movements, and we're bringing this subject up because of something that's happened in New York, and I'm getting the headline for this from GB News, and our notes will come from there as well. And the headline says, school reenacts getting shot by police in dance routine. So they're effectively saying that this is what the police do. So for a start, they're effectively teaching the children to be fearful of the police, because the police will shoot you, particularly if you're black. I mean, this is a trope, rather, of black activists, is that the police will shoot you for being black, or being black while driving, for instance. And as we'll see, the police end up shooting somebody black because they're resisting arrest and they are fearful for their life. And in some instances, they'll say, well, it was an unarmed teen. But of course, the unarmed teen will have a weapon in his car, or he'll be going for a weapon that the police officer has. These are the reasons why this happens. And there are also this talk where they say, oh, well, every black parent has to have the talk with their child about the racist police. And they effectively indoctrinate the children into believing that the police are just looking for any excuse to kill somebody black. So and if you get stopped by them, the likelihood is that you're going to get killed anyway. So you should resist. Otherwise, you're going to get attacked by them. You need to resist. You need to fight back. So the blacks' youths, when they get stopped by the police, they panic. They don't do as they're told. And before you know it, they're resisting arrest, and the police officer ends up shooting them. Now, I don't live in America. I live in Britain. But if I lived in America and I had an armed police officer pull me over, I would do exactly what that police officer said. I wouldn't be talking back to them. I wouldn't be ignoring what they're saying. I would be doing exactly what they say. And that's what youngsters should be taught to do in instances where they get stopped by the police. They shouldn't be taught that the police are just going to kill you anyway if you're black, so you need to fight back, because that otherwise it's the end for you, which is effectively the mentality which the mainstream media has inculcated in black youths. And if you want to talk about inciting hate, it's the mainstream media incites black people to hate the police and expect them to just be racists that want to kill them. And this is sort of what's being implied by this school with this dance routine. A US school has reenacted getting shot by police in a play. New York City fifth graders, equivalent to year six in Britain, at an elementary school, held the performance on June 11th as part of a multicultural day event. So this was their day for celebrating diversity. And what they put in it was a simulated black person getting shot by racist police. And doesn't this really tell us that multiculturalism doesn't work? That you're going to end up with confusion between different groups, and confusion that can end up being completely deadly. I mean, at some level, we react to people's body language. And when you have different ethnic groups, their body language can be completely different. I mean, some races, they shake their head when they mean yes, and they nod their head when they mean no. just something simple like that could be enough to create a problem somewhere. And if you're in a country that allows people to have guns, then you can end up with somebody being shot just simply because the body language was different. Don't forget, the police have guns in America, and they're going to be used to whatever body language their ethnic group has. So they see somebody with different body language. I mean, it's a risk, isn't it? And there's nothing positive at all about diversity and multiculturalism. It just means that you have various different groups in society, and they're all pulling in different directions, because they're all going to be pulling in the direction of their own group and doing what's best for their own group. And that might not be what's best for another group. For instance, with Islam, Muslims do not like to see images. They don't like to see cartoons. They don't like to see artwork, particularly. They don't want to see artwork or representations of Muhammad. Yet, if you're Christian, you like to see artwork. Artwork is a part of Western civilization. It's a part of our culture, particularly religious artwork. Yet we've now got this group within our society that is completely opposed to all of that. So clearly Muslims are going to push towards banning artwork and banning images of Muhammad, whereas Christians or European people are going to be moving in the other direction, saying, well, we want to see artwork. We have this long history of art and fine art. So just, you can see there from one instance that you've got two groups in society that are going to be pulling in opposite directions. And this is why we have such chaotic society. It's because it's full of these different groups. It's because of multiculturalism. And on this day when they're supposed to celebrate multiculturalism in New York, their dance is about somebody black getting shot by a white police officer. That's hardly a triumph of diversity, is it? It proves everything that ethno-nationalists have to say about it. Students at PS075 Emily Dickinson School also held signs with messages such as "Respect LGBTQIA+" and "Terrorism has no religion." Well, let's look at that first one. I guess they put this plus there because there's going to be more letters to add to this acronym in the future. Perhaps there'll be a P there for pedophilia. Don't forget that originally when you had gay pride, and that's all it was gay pride in the 70s. There was NAMBLA, the North American Man Boy Love Association, and they joined in the gay pride protests, these protests that they were having, and they were seen as a part of the gay movement, effectively. And it's not like they were kept out of it by the other lesbians and gays. They were a part of it on these protests. It was the same in Britain. You had the Pedophile Information Exchange, and they were advocating for pedophiles to be able to keep child abuse videos and share them, so long as they didn't actually take part in the abuse themselves. They thought that it was fine for them to have this abuse to go on. And you had Harriet Harman, who's quite high up in the Labour Party hierarchy. She was advocating for them because they were affiliated with the organisation called Liberty. And Liberty looks at people's human rights, and she advocated for this. So pedophilia has always sought to sort of piggyback on the gay rights movement and get the same rights that homosexuals now have for pedophiles, and that's never stopped. So one day in the future, you may very well see P on there for pedophile, or perhaps it will be MAP, minor attracted person. This is the politically corrected terminology that pedophiles like to use to describe themselves with, and they have all these different symbols. Twitter used to be full of them, and if you criticised them, or if you criticised pedophilia, you could lose your account. And when Elon Musk took over, he got rid of all of them. He got rid of all the pedophile accounts, all the people that were calling themselves minor attracted persons or that had these pedophile symbols that they were using. He got rid of all of them. And they moved over to Blue Sky, which is this left-wing social media network. And they're not banned from there. And they openly have their minor attracted persons imagery on there. And of course, Blue Sky is not one of the social media websites that are going to be banned for under 16-year-olds. So this idea that that ban is to protect children from paedophilia, there's nobody who's done more, really, out of the social media networks to clamp down on paedophilia than Elon Musk by banning all of these paedophiles. Nobody makes any mention of it. That's why I mention it, because I think it was a very good thing that he did. And it shows you the hypocrisy that there is there when the British government talk about protecting children from paedophilia. So what you have here, you have this respect LGBTQIA at school, LGBTQIA plus, which means more sexualities. Don't forget, they say there are over 100 different genders now. And just how confusing is that going to be for children to be learning all of this stuff? It's not scientific. It's activism. It's LGBT activism, gay activism. That's why you have this acronym and all these letters. And that's why these children are holding up these signs. And the second sign that they're holding up says terrorism has no religion. Well, terrorism doesn't have a religion, but Islamic terrorism is the primary source of terrorism. It makes up something like 99.9% of all terrorism in the world. So pointing this out, again, it's politically correct. It's because these children have been told that far-right terrorism is just as much of a threat as Islamic terrorism. And of course, it just pales into insignificance. And a lot of the people that get prosecuted for so-called right-wing terrorism, you find out that their terrorism was having a PDF or having a book such as the Anarchist's Cookbook, which is absolutely fine for somebody left-wing to have. They can go and buy it on Amazon. They can buy it from their local bookshop. Police won't say anything at all if you're an anarchist and you have the Anarchist's Cookbook, which tells you how to make petrol bombs and all sorts of other stuff in there. But if you're right-wing, if you're an ethno-nationalist and you have the Anarchist's Cookbook, then you can be held up on a terror charge and you can get 6 years in prison. And there are other people that have been given lengthy prison sentences for putting up stickers, for having friends that were formerly a part of a prescribed organisation such as National Action. There are very few white people in prison on terror charges for actual violent offences. Whereas when you look at Islamic terrorism, the people are in jail for beheadings, trying to set off suicide bombs, setting up bombs, like literal attempts to murder people. Whereas the so-called right-wing terrorism are things like putting stickers up, reading books. It really just shows you this two-tier system. But this is what they're inculcating into these children here. This is why they're holding up a sign saying, terrorism has no religion. Pupils from each grade staged performances for different cultural groups. I'm wondering what the homosexual performance was. What were they performing there? What makes homosexuals different from heterosexuals? Would they have been performing that difference? Perhaps they might in years to come. I mean, that is the general direction which we're going in, down the slippery slope. After a performance from fourth graders reciting Native American poetry, the fifth graders took to the stage. The 10 and 11-year-old pupils danced to Glory by John Legend and Common, with lyrics about Ferguson, Ohio, where a white police officer fatally shot black teen Michael Brown. The song's lyrics include, "That's why we walk through Ferguson and with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up." And there was this hands up, don't shoot, which was the catchphrase that went along with this. And they showed you these pictures of Michael Brown when he was at school. And the fact of the matter was, he just robbed a liquor store. And he then had this altercation with the police officer where he tried to steal the police officer's weapon from him. And the police officer ended up having to shoot him. And this guy was a giant. I mean, he'd just literally gone into a liquor store, and just because of how large he was, he went in there and robbed the liquor store. And the police officer was found to have acted in the way that he should have acted, effectively. If you're an armed police officer and somebody tries to steal your weapon from you, in America, you can expect that that man is going to have to shoot you, isn't he? Because his fear is going to be that you're going to get hold of his gun and you're then going to shoot him. So he has a valid reason for pulling his gun out and firing at you if you're trying to steal his weapon. As I say, this goes down to this bad advice that black youths are given, that the police are just trying to shoot them all the time. So this Michael Brown, I mean, he might have feared for his life, and that was why he was trying to grab this gun from him. But he needn't have done. I mean, he should have just done what the officer said. If he'd complied exactly with what the police officer had told him to comply with, he would still be alive now. But instead of that, he's dead, and we had this huge Black Lives Matter movement where Ferguson was just set fire to. It was in flames. I think this was the one where, when they said about the court case, there was this famous black woman, and she said, if we don't get the results that we're looking for, or words to that effect, going to burn this bitch down. And that became the catchphrase, we'll burn this bitch down. It's effectively because this young black man was shot, Ferguson went up in flames. And this was a couple of years after the first saint in the Black Lives Matter movement, and that was Trayvon Martin. And Trayvon Martin, again, they portrayed him as if he was an innocent young lad. They showed pictures of him from 11 years old. You had Barack Obama saying, you know, this boy could have been me. He even looked like him. But in actual fact, he was much older than that. I think he was 17 or 18, and he looked like he was in his 20s. Again, it was a really big, big bloke, and he had all these pictures of him doing gang signs and guns and all sorts in his videos. And what he was caught with, they said, oh, yes, he was just caught with fizzy drink and Skittles or whatever, grape soda. It was effectively the ingredients for making a cough syrup drink, which youths in America drink, where they're not allowed to drink alcohol till the age of 21. So a lot of the younger ones there, they drink this cough mixture, which has a dissociative drug within it. And that's effectively what he had there with him. He had the ingredients for this. And there was another non-white person there who was a neighborhood watch officer. And there had been these robberies that were going on in this area, and he fit that description. And again, neighborhood watch guy feared for his life, and he ended up shooting Trayvon Martin. And he was found not guilty in the courts. And this guy wasn't white anyway. He was some kind of mestizo, I think. And yet he was portrayed as being white. This was portrayed as being this racist murder of an innocent black man. And there were mobs out for this mestizo. And he was found innocent. He was found not guilty. Not guilty. And yet Black Lives Matter rioted over this. I think this was the first instance of their rioting. And this was 2012, Trayvon Martin. And as I say, the next one was Michael Brown. And they've had a number of them since then, ending up with George Floyd, who, as we know, was dying from a fentanyl overdose. When you look at the video of him in the car, it's him himself. It's George Floyd that wanted to get out of the car and lie on the ground. It wasn't the police officer that dragged him out of the car and put him on the ground. He got out of the car and lay down on the ground because he couldn't breathe, because he was having a drug overdose from all the fentanyl that he had just swallowed. And the police officer rested his knee above his neck, because otherwise, how else is he going to make sure that he stays there and doesn't jump up and run away? He's got to have some means of restraining him. And of course, again, the black community saw this as a white racist police officer, even though the police officer had an Asian wife. It was this white racist police officer that was just trying to kill this poor, innocent black man, George Floyd, who had held a gun to a pregnant woman's stomach, belly, before her pregnant belly, and had just been trying to pass over a fake $20 bill to the shop, which is why the police were there, because these counterfeit bills were being handed over. And again, the black community threatened to riot. They did riot. They set fire to things. They smashed things up. I forget how much damage it was. Might have even been into the billions of dollars worth of damage that they actually caused. And because of that threat of what would happen if the police officer was found not guilty, he was found guilty, even though the toxicology report showed that he died of a drug overdose. And we were told that the police officer strangled him to death with his knee. And that's not what the autopsy report says. The autopsy report said he died of a drug overdose, and the results of this drug overdose. That's what caused him to stop breathing, not the officer with his knee resting above him in case he jumped up. But the jury knew that if they found him not guilty, there would be these massive riots and the place would be burnt down. Each time you look at any of these saints that Black Lives Matter hold up, you'll see that they were resisting arrest, or things are not as you were told. They had another character and he had been selling knocked off cigarettes to underage children. And I think he had like 35 times he had been caught doing this. And again, he tried to resist arrest and he ended up being shot. He ended up dying. And the officer was found not guilty because this man was resisting arrest, because he knew that if he got caught, arrested, he would be going back to jail because he'd carried out all of these other previous crimes. So this is the reason why he fought back. You have to look into these. And what I was talking about yesterday, about how the government is trying to force social media companies to put across the mainstream media reporting, well, the mainstream media reporting in all of these cases was that it was a white racist police officer that had killed an innocent young black child. And that's what was being promoted to the general public. And the result of that were riots and cities in flames. Yet what these children are clearly being taught here, then they're not being taught that the white police officer was innocent. They are being taught that Michael Brown was shot and killed by this racist police officer, even though he had his hands up, even though all of that was found to be nonsense at the trial. They continue, they say, stand up and we stand up. Well, he didn't. This is just it. When he was told to put his hands up, he put his hands down and tried to grab the gun out of the police officer's holster. And yet these children had been told the complete opposite of what happened. Choreography from the pupils saw students stare straight up at the ceiling as if they had been shot, according to footage shared by the New York Post. And this is another part of the protesting that they would do. They would all lie down and pretend that they'd just been shot by the police. So this is blatant political activism that is going on in the school. And it's just as bad in Britain. The British teachers, they're all anti-racist, anti-fascist, fascist. We did a podcast on it a while back of the largest teachers union saying that they all needed Antifa training and they needed to put out propaganda against reform and restore within the schools. And here you have the same thing in New York. The children are being indoctrinated with the Black Lives Matter view of the world, which isn't actually what what actually happened. This man was not a poor, innocent young black child, an unarmed young black child. He was armed because he was trying to steal the police officer's gun. Later, students knelt on one knee. A similar motion to former NFL player Colin Kaepernick, who protested during the national anthem before the games. Again, this getting down on one knee, that was a way of saying, I'm not going to stand for your national anthem, is what this was. Some people at the time thought, well, it was representative of the white police officer holding his knee above George Floyd's neck. But no, it's the fact that Colin Kaepernick refused to stand up for the national anthem. So when you have politicians, people like Keir Starmer, when he famously got down on one knee, that's effectively what they're saying. We refuse to stand up for the national anthem. And that's not a very patriotic way to be, is it? It just shows you that the people that were getting down on one knee, they had no idea where this gesture originated from. They were all just jumping on a bandwagon, thinking that it was protesting against George Floyd dying, effectively. And it wasn't. It was a protest against the national anthem. It was Colin Kaepernick saying, I don't want to be an American. I'm not an American. I'm not going to stand for your national anthem. At the end, the students held a variety of placards and American flags, and one of the signs read, "No place for anti-Semitism." I mean, this is just totally political, isn't it? The whole thing. This celebration of Multiculturalism Day, when they effectively just hold left-wing placards and do left-wing protests, and yet schools are supposed to be non-politicised. I mean, why would you have no place for anti-Semitism at this? Surely if you were going to have a celebration of multiculturalism, perhaps you'd have people dressed up as if they're from these different ethnicities, show positive things from them. But instead, they're just showing these negative things. And again, it just makes the case for ethno-nationalists that diversity and multiculturalism is entirely a negative phenomena. I mean, look, these kids can't find anything positive to say about it. No place for anti-Semitism. Quite clearly, diversity means that you will have anti-Semitism as well. Hands up, don't shoot. Well, diversity means that you're going to get black children, innocent black children, shot by racist white police. I'm surprised they couldn't find anything positive to talk about here with this, because it really does make the argument for ethno-nationalists that all of diversity and all of multiculturalism is just harmful to people. I mean, diversity is not a strength. For a lot of people, diversity has been a death sentence. Or diversity means somebody is going to get raped. Their chances of being raped are massively increased by however diverse the area is that they live in. And perhaps people might say, oh, well, yes, but surely that's insulting what you're saying there, Sven. But it's based on realities, based on facts and statistics that show that Afghans and Eritreans are over 20 times more likely to rape and sexually assault than the indigenous British people. Illegal immigrants are 550 times more likely to rape or sexual assault. And that comes from the figures that were produced by the Dorset Police when they were asked by a Freedom of Information Act to show or say how many sexual assaults were carried out by illegal asylum seekers in Dorset. And you can look at that and you can work out from that, and by looking at their percentage of the population and then looking at how many numbers of these assaults that they were, and you can see that they're actually 550 times more likely to carry out a sexual assault. So the more diverse an area is, i.e. diverse meaning vastly different races and ethnicities, the more diverse a place is, the more dangerous it is for women and children. A New York Police Department officer said the performance was beyond inappropriate. Having fifth graders pretend to be shot by police is not education. It is political indoctrination and exploitation of children, he said. Parents should be demanding answers as to who approved this. And as well as it just indoctrinating the children with this, again, it scares the black students into thinking that the police, if they get stopped by police, they're going to have to fight back or run, because otherwise they're going to get killed by the police. And I'm sure this is one of the reasons why these black youths panic when this happens. And of course, when they panic, the police officer that's doing the arresting, he is trained that if he sees anything that he thinks shows that this person is going to resist arrest or might fight back, then and they could end up fearing for their life, then they have to shoot first and ask questions later. So, and the people that did this, they probably say, well, we need to do this. We need to draw attention to the fact that black youths are being killed by white police. But the end result of it is that more black youths will end up being killed by white police, because black youths are being given a false idea of what happens when they get stopped by police. One insider said there are specific teachers at PS075 who are persistently working to inculcate our students. That's just the same as in Britain, isn't it? I mean, I suspect it's the same in every white country, that the universities and the schools are now full of left-wing ideologues and activists that are intent on pushing this false idea on our children that diversity is a strength. And then, they go out in the world and they realise that it isn't. I think more and more young people are realising that it isn't when they're forced to go to a multicultural school. And they see what it's like, see the way that they're treated for being white. I think more and more young people are waking up to this. And as I say, with this social media ban, I think we can see lots of youngsters moving to restore and reform and maybe even further to the right of that in Britain. In 2024, the school performed a Palestinian folk dance known as the Dabki. So they support Palestinian rights as well. So on the one hand, they hold up a placard saying no place for anti-Semitism. And then they're all also performing Palestinian folk dances. New York's socialist mayor, Zohran Mamdani, has come under scrutiny after suggesting he would scrap the city's gifted and talented programs. And of course, that's something else that the left do. They don't want people that show aptitude to be given the best education so that they can fully use that aptitude. They want everybody to be equal. And if some can't get up to that standard, then you have to lower the education to the standard of the lowest in the class. And that's effectively what he's doing here, saying he's going to scrap the gifted and talented programs. He doesn't want gifted and talented people. He wants everybody to be the same. And the only way you can do that, the only way you can get real equality is to squash everybody down to the same level, because you can't artificially raise people. All you can do is squash things down. It's like in Britain when they talked about this levelling up. Well, you can't level up. All you can do is level down. That's the only way you can get things equal, is by squashing things down. You can't level up when you're plastering. It's amazing that people on the left can believe these things when everything that they see around them tells them the opposite. He has also called for the mayor to have a decreased amount of authority on education, calling for a system of co-governance with parents, teachers, and local councils. This decision has also been criticised by the likes of Crystal McQueen Taylor, executive director of the pro-charter group Students First New York, who told Politico, in a city as big and complex as New York, the leadership lines have to be really clear. If you divide that up amongst dozens of people across the city, you don't get collaboration. What you actually get is confusion and chaos. Well, that's what you get from diversity, is the confusion and chaos. By doing this, you're just going to get even more confusion and chaos. Well, at least it's given us an excuse to have a little look at Black Lives Matter, and also to see just how politicized and left-wing the schools in America are. I mean, I've done podcasts a while back about how politicized the schools are in Britain. They seem just as bad, perhaps even worse, in New York. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.